Comic Timing is a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network.
Hey there, folks. My name is Ian Levinstein, and welcome to episode 119 of Comic Timing. Well, it's the end of the month, and I'm just barely sticking this in here before CGS Super Show, which is this weekend. You can find out all information at cgssupershow.com if you want to try and attend. You know that the Comic Timing crew, me and I guess technically if you want to count Raph as part of the crew, are there every single year, and we're actually going to be there as of tomorrow, which is the 28th of April. And we'll be there until May 1st, that's Sunday. The actual Super Show itself takes place on April 30th and May 1st. And once again, that's at cgssupershow.com. It takes place at the Reading Convention Center. And a bunch of artists and writers will be there to check out. I'm going to be running a panel on Saturday, which is the podcasting quorum, which is literally just going to be me as the moderator and then a bunch of people talking podcasts. And that's going to be at 1 p.m. on Saturday if you get a chance to head out there on April 30th. But just a quick run through here of our DCBS picks, our review corner picks for the month. Kirby Genesis, number one, written by Kurt Busiek with art by Alex Ross. The beginning of a brand new era of Kirby creations here. 75% off of $3.99 for 99 cents. Flashpoint, Kid Flash Lost, starring Bart Allen, number one, which comes with a free promo pin, is 50% off for $1.49, regular price of $2.99. Written by Sterling Gates with art by Oliver Gnome, and this is one of the Flashpoint tie-ins. And Ghost Rider 0.1 is coming out, and this is going to be the beginning of a new Ghost Rider series here for Marvel. So good to see that. Make sure you use the promo code CT8 to get an additional 8% off of your first order with DCBS at dcbservice.com, and we thank them very much for supporting us here at Comic Timing. So without further ado, here's all the interviews that were conducted at C2E2 and MoCA this year. Hope you guys enjoy it. Ahoy hoy here at C2E2. It's Saturday, and I'm here with a man who just got a huge announcement at the last DC Universe panel, Mr. Chris Burnham. Why don't you tell everybody what it is, man?
I'm DC exclusive for the next 2 years.
Congratulations. You're set. Yeah. That's it, man.
Yeah, it's over. I'm done. I don't even need to draw these things. I just need to sit back and just let the millions roll in.
Oh, yeah, sure. It's all about the Benjamins, man.
Yes.
So you're mainly going to be doing the Bat books for now?
Yes.
Okay. So starting off with Batman Inc., correct?
Yeah. I'm for starters, I'm doing Inc. numbers 4, 6, and 7. Mm-hmm. And then beyond that, we're not really sure if I'm going to continue on Inc. or bounce over to Batman or who knows.
Any idea if Yannick is staying in the family, or is he off doing something else?
He is done for now with issue 5. Okay. I don't know what he's up to next, but I'm sure whatever he does, I will buy the shit out of it.
That's fine, because you're here.
Yeah, the hell of that guy.
Yeah, right. Damn it, my turn.
Yeah.
So now that you're DC exclusive, are there any characters that you are just dying to draw?
I'm hoping to get to draw Metamorpho. Ooh. He's just a super goofy character to draw, and If it ever comes up, I will happily do so. I mean, we'll see. But, I mean, for the moment, drawing Batman is kind of a lifelong dream. It's pretty awesome.
Well, yeah. I mean, sure. I mean, not everybody gets to say, I'm that guy that drew that Batman.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty wild. I'm part of a long line of guys that get to do it. It's pretty cool to be part of a big genealogy or whatever you want to call it. It's an honor, I guess. It's wild.
It's good that you said Metamorpho, because, you know, DiDio being DiDio, I'm sure eventually outsiders will come back and you'll be able to draw it.
Yeah.
So
stay tuned. How about that?
So what else is new? I mean, other than the DC stuff, what recently came out that people should be looking for?
Oh, Officer Down is now on Comixology.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, Officer Down was a 48-page one-shot I put out through Image, written by Joe Casey last year. And it's about a super cop kills the bad guys. Like, it is super violent, completely stupid, totally fun. People tell me lots of people told me it was their favorite comic from last year, which
wow.
I think those people might be, you know, have mental problems, but I'm looking at one of them right now. But now it's available on Comixology for $2.
Wow.
So $2 for 48 pages of all-out violence and insanity. It's the best bargain in comics.
Well, considering, you know, $5 otherwise, yeah.
Yeah. So head on over, Bucko.
That certainly sounds good to me. And Armory Wars and all that jazz from previous times. Is Armory Wars in trade at all? Or
The first trade of Armory Wars is out. The second trade should be out soon if it didn't just come out. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I stopped drawing that with issue 7, okay. But I did all the covers. And my good buddy Aaron Cooter took over the interior artwork, and that dude is fucking amazing.
Well, I will certainly look out for that. Now, is this one of those magical clauses that allows you to continue work on anything else while you're DC exclusive, or are you just DC exclusive?
I will be returning to Officer Down this year.
Good.
So they're letting me do that, and... But obviously I can't do work for Marvel or Dark Horse. But
If
I've got something creator-owned to do and I've gotten my requisite Batmaning out of the way, I think they're going to be pretty cool about it.
Yeah, and now you get to read Morrison scripts.
Yes, I do get to do that.
And try to understand them.
They're totally comprehensible.
Right,
I mean, people make a big deal about how they're hard to read, but I think you just need to actually read the words, and I think you'll be fine.
That works for me. Give your website out there to everybody.
ChrisBurnham.com, and I'm The Burnham on Twitter. I just got my 1,000th follower the other day.
Ooh, nice.
Pretty cool.
Awesome. That means you've made it.
Yeah.
And the triple dub, I'm going to have to start using that myself. It's a hell of a lot easier than saying www.
Yeah. Dubba.
Yep. All right. Well, congrats again, Chris, on the big news, and thanks for having you here on Comic Timing.
Yeah, appreciate it.
All right. And more from C2E2 when I feel like turning this on again. Okay. Saturday continues here at C2E2, and I'm here with Brian J. Glass back again here. What's going on, Brian?
Ah, having a great time in Chicago. Second year of C2E2, my fourth year in Chicago. Great town, great show. This huge pickup from last year. Having a great time.
Yeah, well, it's a different hall this year, and I like the layout this time around. It's a little different.
Oh, yeah. Got plenty of room for we, the talent, behind the tables. Plenty of room in the aisles, but yet it's still jammed with people. It's great. Great electric energy here on the floor.
And since last time we spoke, the Thor stuff has come out. Mm-hmm. Perfect timing, I might add, with the movie coming out.
Yep, and there's even more Thor-related goodies still to come by my keyboard, yes.
Very cool. So is anything you can talk about, or?
Not with specific detail, but I'm doing several special projects related to the movie that will roll out with the movie.
Oh, cool.
Nothing's directly in your comic shop, but things you'll be able to download and things you'll be able to go into fast food places and a wide variety of...
Gotcha.
If it's for smiting your enemies... I've had a hand in it if it's connected to the Thor movie.
That's fine by me. It's like the old school days with the X-Men animated Pizza Hut comic books and stuff like that, you know?
Yep. And they're a lot of fun. It's going to be introducing not only the character, but my work to a great gateway to a whole new generation hoped for comic fans.
That's fantastic. And since then, you've also had the Valkyrie one-shot. How did that do for you? I mean, a character like Valkyrie, I mean, while she might be a little bit more prominent now in Secret Avengers and stuff like that, was sort of out of the mainstream for quite some time.
Yeah. The one-shot, it led to Thor First Thunder, so
okay.
it did quite fine for me in that regard. The story itself, oddly enough, proved bizarrely divisive.
Okay.
The vast majority of people, at least online presence, kind of read it and went, okay, been there, done that, that's her. Other people despised it vehemently.
Really?
And then there was this group of people that wanted to, like, be on a pedestal, that it was this incredible feminist... piece of work that I like, wow, I was just trying to tell a good story.
Okay.
And so I must have struck some specific chord to have elicited that much of a divide.
Well, you know what it is? I think you just, in essence, described the internet.
I understand now this yes. thing called the internet.
Yes, you know, some people will absolutely adore something, some people will want your head, and other people will be like, meh, and move on to the next thing.
Yeah. Well, the majority I get with my Templar and the Thor work and my novel Quixote,
right.
my magician adaptations that I've done, it's, I mean, people dislike it, people like it, mm-hmm. a lot of folks in the middle. I've never received a response like Valkyrie.
Wow.
With the dichotomy between the highs and the lows.
Right.
I've gotten the highest highs uh-huh. with Valkyrie.
And the lowest lows.
And the lowest lows with Valkyrie. So, well, have at thee.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about your quote-unquote middle work then. Quixote, the novel.
Oh, wow. Yeah. yeah. Well, this my novel, Quixote, uh-huh. It is an actual novel, okay. Prose. I wrote it. Mike Oeming filled it with illustrations.
Very cool.
Quixote is a novel that reads like a comic book. It's very cool. It's the only supernatural horror version of the classic Cervantes comedy. And some very neat things have been brewing behind the scenes with Quixote that we're still not fully allowed to talk about, which is very frustrating.
But, you know, behind the scenes is better than nothing.
Exactly, exactly. Yes. They don't call it development hell for nothing.
Oh, I just came from the Vertigo panel where Willingham was talking about how pretty much every single network known to man has turned down Fables at this point.
Yes, yeah.
So, real quick, Mice Templar continues.
Yeah, since the last we spoke, we're now a two-time Harvey Award winner, which is spectacular because the Harvey Awards are nominated and voted on by the industry itself.
Mm-hmm.
So to have been nominated was an incredible honor.
Sure.
We've been nominated 6 times, and to have won twice.
That's great.
My peers in this room like the book. So you listening to this, why aren't you liking this book and reading it?
You hear me? Well, perhaps being on the show will let some other people know about it and spread the word.
Well, the third volume has just started. Mm-hmm. It began in December. Volume 3, A Midwinter Night's Dream.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to run about 8 issues.
Uh-huh.
And the whole series will conclude with 4 volumes.
Great. Okay, cool. Well, let me let you save your voice here for the rest of the weekend. Let me get your website real quick so that everybody can check stuff out.
hiddenrobot.com/Mice Templar/. But the easiest thing is to Google. We're me and Mice Templar. Mm-hmm. Brian J.L. Glass. Yes. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter.
You're everywhere.
I'm everywhere. I'm like Chicken Man.
And Super Show, yay or nay?
Absolutely fantastic. Yay. I'm there at the Super Show. Reading rules.
Can't wait to see you there. Brian, always a pleasure, and hope your voice at least lasts until tomorrow.
Oh, that's the plan. Thank you, Ian. It's always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure here as well, and more from Comic Time to come. C2E2, Saturday continues here, and I've got some precious seconds with Gail Simone in between bites of her yogurt. How you doing this weekend, Gail?
I'm doing great. This has been a fantastic show.
Oh, it looks like it's a little bit more livelier than it was last year.
I think so, definitely. I have definitely been a lot busier than last year. I wasn't sure it was possible, but apparently it is.
It happens. Well, Birds of Prey continues on nice and strong here. Now that Brightest Day is quote-unquote ending, Hawk and Dove, do they remain on the Birds of Prey team?
They're on the Birds of Prey team for
a while,
for sure.
That's good to know. Fantastic. And over in Secret Six, there's a lot more than 6.
What can I say? I can't count.
So are we looking at the extended team for the near future?
I wouldn't say that. With the Secret Six, members can come and go at any time. It could be the Secret Four soon. We don't know.
You never know. You never know, indeed. Any other announced things that have happened recently? Because
There's lots of secrets going on, that's for
sure. That's what I know.
And no, I have a lot of cool stuff starting up in September that I can't talk about yet.
That's fine by me.
That I'm really excited about, though. And then I'm working on a project with Ethan Van Sciver that we really can't announce other than him and I are working on something together.
Finally!
Yeah.
That's been a while coming now.
Yes, it has, and I'm very excited.
Fantastic, fantastic. The issue of Birds of Prey on the stands right now would be, what, six, I believe? Or is that...
No, we're past
now,
six.
Past six? Okay.
I think it's 12. Was
it 12? Yeah, oh, it's at 12 already.
Yeah,
wow.
12.
I'm lost.
Shame
I'm lost.
You can't count either.
Hey, I'm buying them all. I just can't count. That's the problem there for the long haul. Yes?
Yep.
Fantastic, fantastic. All right.
Yeah, we've got Jesus Saez is starting up here with the next issue, and it's looking gorgeous, and he's going to be on for a while, so
that's,
very excited about
that's
that.
Good to know. Nice and steady on the art side as well.
Exactly.
All right, well, let me not keep you from your adoring public much longer here, Gail. Thanks for joining us here real quickly on Comic Timing, and enjoy the rest of your busy weekend.
Yeah, nice talking to you.
All right, and there'll be more.
I am Dr. Tran. I have a PhD in kicking your ass. Get these orphans away from the chemical fire. Beverly, can I see you in my ready room? Eat a dick.
It's still Saturday. It's still C2E2. And I apparently don't know this guy, but I do now. I don't know. You just got one of those faces and one of those names, Justin Peterson.
It's the bald head. I look like every other comic book writer and artist.
That's got to be... There's so many comic book artists and writers with bald heads now.
It's true. It's a pandemic, I think, really, at this point.
Are they all bald or do they shave it?
I know that I'm going bald, so I shave it. I think there are some legitimately bald writers and artists, but I think some might just be trying to cash in.
They're all just trying to look like Patrick Stewart.
I mean, who doesn't want to look like that guy?
It's true. It's absolutely true.
It's Picard, man.
So I saw the artwork on Very Near Mint, and I was immediately drawn to it.
Oh,
so
thanks.
Tell me a little bit more about it.
The comic is a story about two guys that own a comic book shop called The Splash Page. The story takes off when they get a new employee in, and the new books for Wednesday don't show up.
Ooh.
And, the poop hits the fan at that point.
Is this from experience? Have you worked at a comic shop?
I worked in a comic book shop when I was about 15 and 16 in high school just for store credit.
Okay.
I have a friend that owns a shop down in the Tampa Bay area, so I'm in there all the time. So I see the craziness that goes on, and I just feel like it's a ripe genre to, stories need to be told.
Right.
You know,
you say the Tampa area, now I immediately think MegaCon, perhaps?
Yes, MegaCon.
That's where
maybe
it was.
Sure, there you
all
go.
All right, I was at two MegaCons because my co-host lives in the Orlando area.
Okay.
So that's got to be it.
Probably.
I'm not crazy. That's amazing right there. Now, how familiar are you with other, like, was this a webcomic first?
No,
or was
it wasn't
this, okay, it was not. Okay.
I did, like, you could call it the demo version of the comic back in 2007.
Okay.
And I've spent the last couple of years working on other stuff and refining the style, working in other art jobs, and then just finally got the script done, found the time to draw it,
and
cranked
it
out, and now it's out.
Awesome. Fantastic. Is it going to be in digital as well?
Yeah, it's going to be, me and Lee, my table mate here, we're going to have our comics as an app for iPhones and iPads.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yep.
Now, one that I know that my significant other pointed out to you that you're definitely going to have to check out, Comic Critics.
Yes.
You will love this thing.
Yeah, I haven't heard about it yet until she told me about it.
Yes. I mean, it's another one of those comic store type things, but yours certainly sounds like it's a little bit more, it's Wednesday, there's no comics.
Right.
In scene here.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
And rival comic book stores, ex-girlfriends, so I mean, it's everything that, I don't know.
That's got to be a comic store's worst nightmare for the books to not come in.
I've seen disasters. It's meltdown proportions when the books don't show up on Wednesday.
Oh, boy. Yeah, because, I mean, even in recent memory, there was a big snowstorm in Pittsburgh a couple of weeks back, and the books were, like, 2 weeks late, and everybody was freaking out.
Yeah. I mean, my buddy's shop, he get the UPS or FedEx, whoever, they miss the shipment, or they miss a box, and it happens to be New Avengers, and everyone's freaking out.
Of course, And so everybody online is reading it before then.
Exactly, and then he's got to do damage control. Don't go to the other shop in town. We'll have it tomorrow, we promise.
But not damage control the comic. That's a little different.
No, that's completely
that's
different.
That's 100% different. You have a website?
It's the comic is verynearmint.com.
Okay.
And my personal website is justinpeterson.net.
Fantastic.
Yep.
All right, well, thanks for joining us here on Comic Timing, and hopefully more people will find out about the book.
Great, man. I appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, and more from C2E2 the next time this thing presses play. All right, C2E2 continues here. I'm not tired yet. That's a miracle. And I'm here with Charles Saul, who you may remember from my interview with him at least once before, possibly twice before, at many other conventions, such as New York, correct?
Yeah, New York.
And C2E2 last year. Strongman, 27, and Whirly Bird Eggs, which I think I'll also talk about at least a little bit. How's the weekend been treating you so far?
It's been great. You know, it's the nice thing about C2E2 is that it's a place where everybody seems, you know, it came out of nowhere last year, but everybody seems to come here now. So it's, you really get to see people you know, meet new people, make connections, and obviously meet tons of fans. It's really great.
Well, I really like the new hall. I mean, last year was nice and everything. It was, you know, at least there were windows all over the place, so you know, I had that nice open feel going for it, but it feels like the aisles are a little bit wider this year, which is a little nice.
I think that's true. Even getting from one end of the hall to the other just seems like it doesn't take 20 minutes like it normally would, so
yeah,
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Now, last year, 27 was in the beginning stages, and since then, pretty big success.
Thank you very much. It has done well, which has been very gratifying. Last year, actually, C2E2, which was where it was picked up. I had the pitch with me, which I'm sure is what I showed you when we talked about.
Yes.
And then it was picked up on the floor, which was sort of, you know, gratifying and unheard of.
Right.
So it started hitting, the first issue came out last December, and then it's been December, January, February, March. So the fourth issue just hit a couple weeks ago,
right?
Which is the full first arc. The trade hits in June, second arc hits in September, blah, blah. So let me give you a little bit of the premise. Is that...
By all means.
So 27 is about the myth and rock history, about rock and roll history, about a bunch of musicians and artists who died at age 27. Mm-hmm. You've got Janis Joplin, right. Kurt Cobain, Jimi Hendrix, Jim Morrison. There's a long, long list of them.
Right.
So the premise of the book is that you have a famous guitar player now, Will Garland, a guy I made up. He turns 27, right. And his hand stops working, so he can't play anymore.
Right.
He all kinds of other things start going wrong. He starts investigating, and he learns through sort of occult means that he's actually been tapped to be the next one to go in this 27 club.
Oh, boy.
So he's been cursed, essentially. So then from there, the book is about him trying to beat that curse, try to live to see 28, get his hand working again so he can play. And it's all fun. It's, you know, like supernatural and a little bit Hellblazer in tone. It's
right.
it's a great time.
So he's trying to be Eddie Vedder and not Kurt Cobain.
Yes, exactly. I think that's a good way to put it.
Hey, I'm actually kind of proud of Eddie Vedder for lasting past 27. It was well done on his part.
Well, I'm just glad he's still around. I wish they all could. Anytime one of these guys dies, it's a tragedy, obviously.
Definitely. And it's also nice to see it's coming out on a monthly basis. That's something that you don't often see in quote-unquote indie books. I mean, I know it's picked up by Image here, so
yeah,
that's great for you as well.
Well, we tried very hard from the beginning. We knew that then when indie books come out and miss months, people don't know when they're coming out, it's a problem. And so we said from the beginning, you know, it's going to hit the first week of the month, and we hit that every month it came out, and, you know, so far it's been great. So, and if you missed it in floppies, the trade collection again is out in June. It's got a all-new backup story, 12 pages, lots of great extras and things like that. Should be really, really good.
All right, cool. That would be single issues, by the way, not floppies.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
No, I'm sorry. We had a long conversation at dinner last night about how floppies just makes it sound like they're like these things that you can just throw on the floor and ignore, which I don't even think is really the case. They're just single issues, you know?
Right. Yeah,
they're
that's
comics.
True. That's true.
Like anything else.
Absolutely.
Whirly Bird Eggs?
Whirly Bird Eggs is just something I threw together for the con. Not to say threw together. It's a collection of short stories that I've done over the years with various artists for anthologies and such like that. And they, you know, the way the nature of those kind of projects is that you do a great little story, a 5-pager, a 10-pager, and then it sort of disappears after a while. And I had done a bunch of them, and so I decided to just collect them into one volume, and here they are. So.
That's cool. Is this just a con exclusive, or is this going to be... Okay, that's fine, that's fine. So at other cons, perhaps, after this?
Yeah. You're going to have to look them in the eye when you buy it, basically. Yes, just like that.
For those of you who don't know, I just looked him in the eye. Yeah, yes. It was intense.
It was. I was shattered down to my very soul.
What other cons are you hitting this year?
This year I'll be at San Diego.
Okay.
I'll be at MoCA in New York in a couple of weeks.
I'll see you there.
Great. I'm going to do probably King Con again in Brooklyn in the fall. New York Comic Con, obviously.
I have missed King Con both times. Once because I was in Seattle, and the other reason I think we just literally forgot.
Well, they need to get their PR department in order then.
I think so, yeah. But I mean, either way, I've heard good things.
It's fun. The nice thing about it is that it's a local con. It's a Brooklyn con.
Yeah.
Focused mostly on Brooklyn creators, though it's open to, I think, anybody, but a lot of Brooklyn creators come. And there's a lot of substantial people who live in it. I mean, you've got, you know, Cliff Chang lives there, Chris Claremont lives there, Brian Wood lives there, just to name three that come to the top of my head, and there's many more.
Nino is another
yeah,
one. Yeah,
there's a bunch. So yeah. It's a really nice little scene. I really like it. And it's sort of nice to have a fall MoCA, essentially, because MoCA's in the spring, and then you have King Con in the fall, and it's a nice balance.
And I like it when nice people say nice things about my town. So,
yes.
Yay. And I like going to a con via subway.
Yes.
That's just the best thing. Like, you don't have to fly. You don't have to get hotels. It's wonderful.
Without a doubt. Let me get your website one more time, even though other people have probably heard it on the show before. By all means.
The best place to find information about all my upcoming products is projects, rather. Products. It's the same thing. Products and projects.
Same. Close enough.
Yeah. Is charlessoul.wordpress.com, and that's charlessoule.wordpress.com. You can also find me on Twitter at charlessoul if you're so inclined.
That's fine. That's fine. I believe I have you followed. If not, I'm going to have to rectify that. Either way,
absolutely.
Charles, great seeing you again.
Yep, likewise.
I'll see you in a few weeks at Mocha.
Sounds good. Have a good one.
All right. And you too have a good one, listeners.
Everything's fucking wonderful!
He goes from standing around real quiet to actually talking, because he's literally right next to the last guy I talked to. Hey, Jewett, what's up?
How's it going, man?
It's going pretty well, man. Going pretty well. How's this going for you?
It's good. It was a really good Friday for me, like a really busy and, I don't know, just a good show. It's a good vibe here.
That's good. Well, I mean, again, I've said this multiple times now. I like the way this is flowing better than last year.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that.
Yeah.
And it's been fun being behind a table this time around, so.
As opposed to being a wandering Jewett.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I had to use that pun at least once.
Nicely played.
So what do you got going for you these days?
A couple different projects in development right now. I'm working on a book that'll end up being a love letter to the 80s action film.
A man after my own heart.
Yeah, I'm working on that with Matt Burden of Matinee Idols and Burden's World fame.
Ah.
And then also I'm working on a book of my own, a collection of short stories of my own that hopefully will be out relatively soon.
That's cool.
Called Hip Hop Scotch.
Hip Hop Scotch.
Yeah.
Ah, I see what you did there.
Yeah, we've talked
yes,
about this.
Yes,
yeah.
yes. And it's funny because it's like hip hop and then there's scotch at the end. So it's
that's
like
right.
Hip Hop Scotch. Yeah, yeah, I'm going to stop talking now. what else you got, brother?
Those two projects are going to be taking up a lot of my time. I mean, just, you know.
It's busy. It's busy work, man. It's busy work.
It is. Yeah. So I probably disappear a little bit from the con circuit a little bit and get to work on those. I'll be at a couple other shows. I'll be at Super Show and Summit City.
You got to do Super Show.
Got to do Super Show.
How could you miss Super Show? Really? You know?
I won't miss Super
That's
Show.
That's good because you need your mate. You need your Shady Maple in you or else it's just not worth it. That's it.
That's right.
You've been sketching all weekend too, or?
Yeah, I've been really busy. You actually caught me at a moment where I only have like one thing at the moment.
Miracle of miracles! I just happened to pop by at the right time.
It's just fate.
What's the kookiest thing you've sketched all weekend? It's got to be something.
I'm working on a zombie Muppets thing for somebody.
Nice.
So that's kind of fun.
Fantastic. Any Muppets in particular, or just?
It's a variety of Muppets chasing Mrs. Piggy. So. Yeah.
Now, see, I would actually pay money for that to be a comic book.
A lot of people seem to have that same opinion of her. No one seems to have any kind of compassion for her being chased down by zombies. So,
what's the old joke? Kermit the Frog was forced to stop dating Miss Piggy when he became kosher and could no longer eat pork.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry, Jim Henson.
Oh, the ghost, the zombie of Jim Henson.
Yeah.
We're very, very sorry.
That's right.
So, what have you been doing in your off time this weekend? I mean, just boozing it up and partying, or just back at the room?
Actually, last night was kind of low key. Just, you know, dinner and hung out in the bar a little bit. But I mean, just.
Do Chicago pizza or otherwise?
No, actually, we did. We ended up eating at a pizzeria not too far from here.
I somehow knew it.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, we did Juno's East last night for the, you know, the typical Chicago.
Yeah, this was just a little mom and pop place. I don't even remember what the name of it was, but it was good.
We did Eduardo's on Thursday night for stuffed crust deep dish, because I literally put into Google stuffed crust deep dish and like what is not Giordano's, because we've already been there. I'm like, let's try something else. Not bad. It's spinach pie, pretty good.
Isn't that against the rules for you to be eating deep dish?
What? Oh, what? Just because I'm from New York. I mean, to me, it's just another type of pizza. You know, I'm not gonna be able to find New York pizza in Chicago. So I gotta go for it. So like, just like Chicago dogs. You know, it's not Nathan's, but it's still something.
You're a man of the world, my friend.
It's the way I roll. It's the way I roll. give your website to the humans out there.
It's just www.andyjewett.com. Jewett's Jewett.
Jew with an et.
That's right.
That's all it takes, from Jew to Jew, man. I'll see you at Super Show, brother.
All right, later.
All right. More from C2E2. Hey, guess what? It's still Saturday. I'm still on my feet, somehow. And we're here with Carrie Kelly here at C2E2. And weekend going well?
Absolutely, yeah. We had a great day yesterday, and today's been even better. It's been huge.
I've been hearing that from a lot of people.
Oh, it's been packed. I mean, this is the first time you could actually walk through here all day.
Probably because everybody's hungry.
Yeah, everybody's eating. Taking a break.
So tell us a little bit about your characters here.
Well, right now we're pushing Dynagirl. It's a web series. It's www.dynagirlonline.com.
Okay.
And right now we've got about 5 issues online. We're a web-to-print deal. We put out on the web, and then when we get enough to collect into a full story, we put it out and print a trade paperback version. She's a basically the whole premise is she's a single mother superhero.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, she has to juggle. She comes out of retirement to start the series, and she's dealing with a 5-year-old kid and returning to superhero work, and, you know, she's just kind of trying to juggle her whole life and trying to decide really what she wants to do with it.
That's hard enough to do when you got a baby, but imagine what it's like with a 5-year-old.
Oh, yeah, it's actually it's a lot of fun. She's not a bad mom, but she's not sure if she... She left some stuff on the table as a superhero, you know, and there's stuff that she wants to do. So she's kind of conflicted about retiring. So that's why she came back in the first place. And she's dealing with a lot of weird stuff. So she actually came out of our first series, Fallen Justice, which is about what happens when the most powerful man in the world finds out he has 3 months to live.
Hmm.
So
I'll kind of reminds me a little bit of All-Star Superman, actually.
Well,
in
yeah.
That aspect.
Yeah, except for he doesn't live in the end.
Ooh.
Superman got a pass. This guy doesn't get a pass.
Well, in that story, he is in the sun or whatever.
That's true.
but thanks for telling me what happens at the end of that book.
Yeah. Well, actually, we tell you the first.
That's good. All right, that's good. That's even better. That's even better.
Oh, yeah.
With a character like this, was it just that you just liked her so much that she had more story to be told? Or?
Well, absolutely. I never intended to continue with her stuff. Uh-huh. We got into about issue 3. Fallen Justice, and the story had basically morphed into being told through her eyes.
Okay.
And so, having said that, you know, the more I got into the character, the more I really enjoyed her, and I knew by issue 3 that I had to continue her stuff. Just didn't really know how I was going to work it out, because I had the ending all figured out,
right.
So then I had to kind of, I altered a couple of things early enough on that it made good sense, so that helped me out. And then, yeah, she's just, I really like strong female characters, and...
Nice.
And she's absolutely that.
You don't see enough of those these
No, days. That's a fact. That really is a fact. Of course, and it keeps me in good grace with my wife, because she's happy. She likes her, so, you know, it works out good.
That's good. And plus, you don't have to worry about, you know, having a short skirt and then putting pants on the character.
Exactly. We've actually got all kinds of neat stuff coming out. We put out a line of jealous skins for laptops.
Pretty cool.
Based on our characters. We put out a 1/6 scale statue of
Dynagirl
that's available now. So,
okay.
Yeah.
We have a guardian in the presence. So now is it free online and then print?
It's absolutely free online. You can read from the very beginning all the way up to what we just put online yesterday.
That works. And full issues, or is it just like almost like a webcomic?
They're 22-page issues.
22-page issues.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And we followed the 22-page format. Plus, if they subscribe to my newsletter, I send out extras.
Unlike DC, you're 22 pages.
Exactly.
That'll work. So let me get your website out there.
It's my main website is redhandedstudios.com.
Mm-hmm.
And the Dynagirl site is dynagirlonline.com.
Fantastic. All right. So, well, go ahead and check it out. And Fallen Justice is available...
Through redhandedstudios.com.
Absolutely.
Studios. They can order it right there. They can also get all our prints and all kinds of crazy stuff there. So.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us here, Carrie, and enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thank you, sir.
All right. More from Comic Timing and C2E2 when I eat. C2E2 continues here on Saturday. Introduce yourself to the crowd, Mr. Ed Dunphy.
I'm Ed Dunphy. I'm a writer, currently working with Andrew Kadelka on a couple of horror stories.
Fantastic. So you've been doing horror for a while now, since the 80s, correct?
Since the 1980s. Worked with North Star, put out a number of black and white horror comics, Mongrel, Slash, Splatter, things like that. So
very, very one-word
yes.
Titles there.
Yes, mostly sort of to purge my nightmares.
Good way to go about it.
it's nice to do that and get paid for it.
Yeah. So you've worked with John Ostrander as well in the past, correct?
John and I are buddies going way back. Used to do Munden's Bar for Grimjack.
Very cool. So currently working here with Haunted Theater, correct?
Yes. Silver Phoenix Publishing puts that out. They have an exclusive here, C2E2 2011 exclusive of Mystery Manor Haunted Theater, and our story is the lead-in story of that.
Okay.
So it's an anthology, sixth issue of that. Mm-hmm.
Did you have a break with the horror and then come back to it, or...?
I did for a few years off. I wrote science comics. I have a web comic called Lab Bratz, okay. LabBratz, labbratz.com, uh-huh. And it's all science humor. It has nothing to do with horror whatsoever.
Interesting. Okay. Well, do you feel that sort of like recharged your batteries for writing horror later down the road, or?
I like to write a lot of different things. So in terms of recharging, I don't know about that. It's the science humor, I work in a laboratory during the day.
Oh, okay.
So it's a totally different side of my brain. Uh-huh. And
it's always there.
It is. And I've met a lot of interesting people, and science doesn't always sound like, oh, geez, how would that be funny? But a lot of goofy things go on in the lab, things you don't want to know about. Stuff I can't put in because it's a family-friendly strip.
Uh-oh. Well, if you ever decide to do an R, and you sort of fell into the horror thing a little bit as well when it happened, correct?
Right. Brian Azzarello was my editor at the time and asked me if I could do horror, and I said, of course I can. I can do anything.
Yes.
So didn't matter that I had never written horror before. You just go with it.
It's a good thing he didn't ask you, like, do you draw butterflies or something?
Well, if he asked me if I could draw, I would say no, I can't draw. I'm terrible. But I can write, and it's what I like to do. So.
Well, that's good. That's great. So where can people find it currently? Is it online available for purchase? Or
well, the horror comic is available for purchase at www.silverphoenix.net.
Okay.
And, of course, we're here at the convention all weekend, and when our next book comes out, which will be a color version of The Mongrel, that'll be a trade paperback, likely coming out next year. So we're not sure where we're going publishing with that yet. We could self-publish.
Or you could not.
Or we'll see. We'll see. There are a lot more options for publishing than there used to be.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, guys that'll just, you know, publish whatever you give them these days, you know, when it comes to, you know, like by order as opposed to getting them ahead of time.
Well, like print on demand,
right,
you can do that.
Right, right.
But for me, I actually like the freedom of the self-publishing of my webcomic. Uh-huh. I didn't have to deal with publishers. I didn't have to deal with editors. I could do it myself. I hired an artist who is from Brazil. I've never actually met him. I've never spoke to him on the phone. I send him scripts. He sends me art. I letter them. I put them online.
Hey, it's amazing how often that happens these days.
It's amazing. So, but on the other hand, with my Chicago connection, I lived here for 15 years. I do know a number of local artists, so coming to conventions is a really good way to hook up with people again.
Sure. And Chicago is certainly full of them.
Enormous number of talented people here.
I agree. Well, thanks for joining us here, Ed, and best of luck to you.
Thank you very much.
All right, great. And more from C2E2 definitely going to happen. It continues here on Saturday, and I'm here with Byron Wilkins, who has a cookbook that he put together. So why don't you tell everybody about it?
Sure. What we decided was we wanted to approach a bunch of webcomic artists and have them give us recipes in a related drawing, and we put it together in one big book, and we got 50 of them together.
Wow.
And got 2,000 copies printed, and we're going to donate the proceeds to the Northern Illinois Food Bank.
That's great.
And we decided to premiere it here at C2E2, and it's gone really well.
What range of food is in there?
Actually, it's all range. You got breakfast, lunch, dinner, appetizers, and a couple drinks. And we kept, you know, one or two alcoholic ones, you know, so that's always a bonus.
Works
for
me.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, you know, the time of day, he's like, hey, there you go. Is it too early? No. But anyway, so the concept was kind of give them a bunch of variety to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is really, you know, maybe they won't use all the recipes, but, you know, it's going to a good cause.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't enjoy the recipe, you'll certainly enjoy the comic.
Sure. And I mean, talking about variety, there's also a great variety of art in this as well.
Absolutely. We got 50 different webcomic artists. nationally syndicated ones, you know, some just starting out. Mm-hmm. So it's a great exposure for everybody. And you know, and we're doing this in 10 different cities in the United States and 10 in Canada.
Oh, great.
And so it's going to benefit the food banks in each city.
Great. It's going to be the same book for each...
Right.
Okay,
right.
Good. Yeah. Just checking, because that would be a lot of webcomic artists.
Nope, same book.
A lot of time.
Yeah. Yes. Same book, but different advertisers. So it'll be the local, local ones.
Very good, very good. Any of the other cities to be announced so far?
Yeah, well, that's going to be coming from feedamerica.org.
Okay, feedamerica.org. That's something to look forward to there. And the comic book itself, is it also available for purchase online or just mostly at cons?
No, you can purchase online. Obviously, if you buy it at a con, you save shipping.
Of course.
It's available at tgtmedia.com. Okay. Two guys talking, tgtmedia.com.
tgtmedia.com.
Yeah.
Well, fantastic. All right, well, I mean, this actually looks pretty good to me, and I'm looking for stuff to cook.
Yep.
So this might actually be a good thing there.
It's a great thing.
What's your favorite recipe in the thing?
The one I put in, the 70s deep dish pizza from Chicago.
Ooh, nice. See, I'm a New Yorker, so I'm a thin crust guy myself.
Absolutely.
But I have a great respect for deep dish.
Well, I've been to New Jersey and New York, and hey, it's great pizza. Roll it up and eat it, and there you go.
Exactly. All right, well, thanks for joining us here, Byron, and best of luck on the book.
Thank you very much.
All right, and more to come here at C2E2. Almost said.
I'm going to kill you.
What? I didn't mean it! Don't be angry!
I survived until Sunday, people. It's C2E2 here. I just came in the door a little while ago, and immediately I find myself some filmmakers that are getting some big stuff done in the comic book industry. Why don't you introduce yourself out there?
My name is Kevin Thurman. I'm actually the marketing director for Sequard, as well as one of the writers. We're actually not the filmmakers. We're more the producers and stuff like that.
That's fine.
And this is...
Julian Darius. I'm the publisher of Sequard and executive producer of our films, including Grant Morrison, Talking with Gods, which got rave reviews. Warren Ellis Captured Ghosts, which is our follow-up. We also have another one, it's Diagram for Delinquents on Frederick Wortham that we're doing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, that one's going to be amazing, too. We really have some strong films coming out, and we're really hoping to grow that and get more out there.
Well, the Wortham one I'm particularly interested in because, I mean, this is a guy that sort of, I guess, stumped the comic book industry for a while. You know, it's like if not for him, there would have been no Comics Code. There would have been, I guess, no quote-unquote regulation.
Right.
And perhaps the stigma of comic books would be a little bit different today in the eyes of America.
But, you know, that's so debated. What's interesting, because I wrote a series on Wortham, for our website, sequard.org. And, it's so interesting that he was actually writing in the middle of the 40s, and he was already doing articles. And then you start looking at how many other people were doing these articles, and there were quite a bit. And this was during the period where people were burning comics, and we can all argue about was that exaggerated or not. But it's such a fascinating story because he was a liberal, he was a forward-thinking guy.
Uh-huh.
Who was against censorship, but he didn't see this as censorship because it was self-regulating.
Right.
And it's so complicated. I mean, it's a documentary on comics' most hated man that will try to be fair to him and present multiple sides and not rehabilitate him, but be fair and present the history.
Just so we get to know the guy a little better.
And it's the story of our medium because you look at, obviously, if that was the low point of after, the folding of EC and where we... put ourselves in a straitjacket and said, we're just going to be comics for kids.
Right.
We've obviously reached the apex on the other side of that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is really the story of the evolution of comics as a serious art form.
Right.
He's at that crux of comics history.
And it's interesting timing, too, considering that the Comics Code pretty much just went bye-bye officially a couple months back.
Yeah. With a topic like it, we really got approached by Robert Emmons, has he done any other films?
He's an award-winning documentarian. He works at Rutgers. He's Dr. Robert Emmons. He's such an awesome guy.
Sorry, Bobby. Dr. Bobby, I mean.
Dr. Bobby Emmons.
Dr. Bobby.
Yes.
But he's an amazing filmmaker. I mean, the guy's spirit and his resolve to really present this as more than just one position, I hate Wortham. He's been so committed to, doing research and really interviewing people and trying to really scope out what the full story was here.
That's great.
That it really will be a beautiful documentary, I think.
I'm certainly looking forward to it. Now, the one that's in the pipe right now is the Warren Ellis documentary, which certainly a character, that Warren Ellis, isn't he?
I think in a lot of ways, literally, he is a character. I actually interviewed him last March in London.
Okay.
And he's a beautiful man. I mean, really, he's just such a nice guy. He's a beast. And, you know, like we had a panel last night about the year of Ellis, and we talked a bit about meeting him. And, you know, like I said, nothing can compare to actually meeting Warren in life and how big he is. Mm-hmm.
I've met him, so I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
It's like meeting a Mack truck.
It kind of is. Yeah. Well, I mean, there he was on the side of the hall at San Diego Comic Con. I believe this was 3 years ago at this point, and he was just doing a signing, I think, with Avatar, and no one was there. And it was so weird because it's like, well, that's the way San Diego has come for me. It's like it's so much of an entertainment con. Sometimes you forget that there are actual comic professionals there signing, and you know, we just go up to him, and it's like, are you having as miserable a day as we are? And he just looks at us like, oh, you have no idea.
Warren's favorite topic to talk about is misery. Misery and bowel movements, I think, are his two favorites. So you did a good thing.
Yes. I have him on LiveJournal. I know what you're talking about.
Yes. His LiveJournal and tweets and any of his posts are just, you know, generally if they're not informative about some sort of weird techno music or some sort of weird gadget or, you know, occurrence.
Japanese porn.
Oh, yes.
As he likes to talk about, one of his favorites he found was...
You're explaining why I can't check Live Journal at work, by the way.
Exactly. Yes. But one of his favorites is, you know, Japanese porn-wise, was someone sent him an Ass Eels DVD with women that were actually putting live baby eels into each other's... behind.
Oh, boy.
Trying to clean this up a little bit. It's hard when you're talking about Ellis.
It's all right. It's a podcast. Don't worry about it.
Great. No rating. In that case, they were putting it in each other's ass.
That's better.
And he's so horrified by this, but he understands that there's a truth to humanity that we love seeing the sick thing, the twisted thing.
Yeah.
We are the type of people... humanity will stop at the side of a crash to see the damage and the wreckage and how bloody and gory it is. This is something about us, you know. It's staring at the, you know, being on the edge of the Grand Canyon, staring down, wondering, if I jump, what is it like? Mm-hmm. And that's really what Warren Ellis is about. To kind of segue into me shilling my book, that's sort of what I get into in Voyage and Noise, which is the book that I'm writing right now that'll be out later this year. Is really unwrapping and unpacking those philosophical and societal ideas that he really develops and pushes forward in that very journalistic way that only Warren Ellis can do. It's really a beautiful thing when you get down to it. I know that's kind of weird to say about a writer like Warren that is so brutal and just, I mean, he is clubbing you about the head and the shoulders saying, you know, listen to me.
Right.
Why aren't you paying attention to the world around you?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, a lot of us are just going, well, just give us a nice story, Warren. And he's like, no, fuck you. You're going to know the truth. And that's the beauty. I love that.
Well, that's why, like, I mean, I've read some of his indie stuff. I mean, I mainly read most of his mainstream stuff. But, like, for an example, Thunderbolts. I mean, when you look at that and the commentary on society inside of that and stuff like Transmetropolitan and all the major works.
Well, speaking of Thunderbolts, I mean, Thunderbolts alone has one of the most brutal scenes I've seen in a comic book for me, which is when Pennitz just loses it during a fight and just starts bashing his head into the wall saying, I'm not good enough. I mean, holy crap, emotionally, I think I do that to myself on a daily basis, and I can really understand that.
Not physically, though.
No, physically. Good. Well, once, but I was in the hospital for a while.
It's a shame. Yeah.
I speak good now. But really, yeah, I mean, he does some wonderful, amazing things with his work, and that's really why we're trying to celebrate him with this year of Ellis, you know. The subtitle of my book is, the whole title is Voyage and Noise, Warren Ellis and the Demise of Western Civilization.
Okay.
And he likes to joke. He actually posted my cover and joked that I'm blaming him for the demise of Western civilization. And as much as I wish I could do that just to wrap up the book nice and tight, it's not true.
Yeah.
Warren's just, you know, shining a light on what the demise of Western civilization is and where we're going and why we're going there. And it's very, you know, his work is always very philosophical that way, very humanitarian that way. The guy has a huge heart. And as much as I may get killed for saying that the guy's just a nice guy, it's true. you know, someone that cares is the one perhaps shouting the loudest that there's a fire and we all need to get the fuck out right now. And that's why
I mean, he does have a family, you know, he does, right. He does have friends. I mean, it's, he's not like Alan Moore in his castle, you know, I mean.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he lives in his hometown where he grew up in Essex.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, I mean, like, look what happened with Red, you know, when they made the movie, he took that money and bought his daughter a pony. I mean, that's a mean, brutal, vicious Spider Jerusalem type man does not buy
a goddamn
daughter.
Pony.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And all the other comics writers were pissed off because they said, you know, where's my pony, Daddy?
Yeah, I'm sure that you know, after writing The Boys, Garth Ennis is out there buying a pony for his daughter. Right. So you got to talk about the sex puppets at least a little bit.
Definitely. Right now we're doing a Kickstarter campaign for the finishing cost of the Captured Ghost Warren Ellis documentary, because it's very expensive to make, and we really wanted to do something different and I think innovative and new and fresh. And so what we've done is Patrick Meany, the director, is actually starting a Kickstarter campaign for the finishing cost of the film so they can make sex puppets. They're hiring professionals to make actual puppets, and they will be making a Warren Ellis puppet, am I right?
That's right. And we'll be doing a lot of reenactments and dramatizations of sort of clips from Ellis's work. So it's not just money for sex puppets.
Right.
I just want to be clear.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
we need sex puppets. Give
right
us cash.
Now.
I mean, cash for sex puppets.
We might film them, but that's for a different reason.
Right. Eventually, we'll put them on celluloid, but that'll be in a couple years when we're done with them. They
of
won't
course.
Look good.
Yeah.
Right. They won't look good on camera.
Might be some stains.
And then we'll auction it off for charity.
Of course.
You know?
Of course.
The mouth might be kind of gummy and glued shut, but
oh,
I mean,
God.
You can.
I think we've gone too far.
Oh, sorry.
Over the line again, Kevin.
A little bit, a little bit.
Edit that out.
Yeah, not happening. And the Kickstarter campaign, does it have a URL that anyone can remember or just search?
Not that anyone can remember, but if you go to Kickstarter.com and you type in Warren Ellis, you'll go right there.
That's fine.
So.
Okay, awesome.
Also, it's on WarrenEllisMovie.com,
okay.
Is the site just for the movie.
Great, fantastic. Talk a little bit about the Grant Morrison stuff real quick. I mean, you know, when you talk about influential writers, we already mentioned Warren Ellis, so why don't we talk about Grant Morrison a little bit, because two very, very different people. However, their career tracks are somewhat similar in certain aspects. You know, I mean, when it comes to, I guess, the out there stuff that they've written.
Yeah, but I've been very influenced by both of them. I think Grant's, most people remember his work that was a little earlier than Warren's.
Right.
And I think he was very influenced by, obviously, the post-Alan Moore effect, which he was resisting at the time with Doom Patrol and Animal Man. And I don't think people picked up at the time how much he was resisting that. I think people thought, oh, this is deconstructing the superhero. And Morrison sort of thought, well, I'm not really deconstructing. This is Dada. You know, this is something totally different, guys. And it sort of took two decades almost for people to clue into that. So that's really something. Well, we sort of started out as the Grant Morrison company in a way. We started with Grant Morrison, the early years by Tim Callahan, who works for CBR. And we also did Patrick Meany, the director, also did Our Sentence Is Up, seeing Grant Morrison's The Invisibles. So, you know, the year of Ellis is, you know, we've already established our, you know, multiple years of Grant. So.
Yeah. You've kind of, like, even done the future a little bit.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you have to if you're doing Grant, because it's all about the future.
Now, the important question, did you understand Final Crisis?
I understood it.
Okay.
But I think that its greatest strength is also its greatest weakness. It's so manic. Mm-hmm. And I think that Grant's reached this point where, you know, he's packed so many ideas into per panel.
Right.
And it sort of accelerates, you know, as you continue through Final Crisis. And so it is a delicious mess. And, you know, you either throw that across the room and say, what have you done? I hate this. It's incomprehensible. Or you say, well, this is what it feels like when the world is ending. I'm crazy just reading this.
It's amazing how you just saw inside my mind. Because that was me on reading number one. I was like, what the hell is this? And literally tossed it. I'm like, why do I have to wear 3D glasses to read this, you know, for Superman Beyond? Then I finally picked it up in from the library in New York. I picked up the trade. reads so much better in trade. When you actually got it all there, yes, in the reading order it's supposed to be.
The same thing happened to me. I actually had the first issue I borrowed from a friend, and I could not get past just the DSI in the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, when they kill Orion, and I'm just like, I don't know how to turn the page past that. It was just, it threw me off. And the Black Racer being in the sky behind them, and there was just like a lot of questions. So then finally I got the trade from the library, and yeah, it reads so much better, so much more cohesively, I think.
So much less 3D, too.
Yes, so much less 3D, yes. Because Superman Beyond, personally, was my favorite part about Final Crisis, honestly. It was just so over the top and so weird and fantastical that I don't know how you can't just have a little place in your heart, anybody, for it. Yeah, it's just I think it was a really beautiful work, but like Julian said, it is a beautiful mess.
And as a regular comic reader, it also took me divorcing Countdown entirely from it, because, you know, that was another problem going into it. I'm like, wait a minute, I just read all of that and now this is different. What? Brain hurt, ow, pain. But once I did it, I did it, you know? That's all it really took, so.
Yeah, I think people acknowledge that DC sort of screwed that up.
Grant himself has pointed it out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and it's unfortunate because Grant had planned Final Crisis out.
Right.
This wasn't his fault.
Right.
I love the DSI. But, you know, I'll say this about Final Crisis. It got people talking.
Yes.
And whether you're pissed off and you think this fucked the entire DC universe up, as a lot of people seem to think, or you say, this is the best, you know, the ultimate crossover. You know, opinions very divided, but at least it was vital and interesting, and I'm all for that.
Hey, it got me to write an angry blog post on Comic Timing back when it was coming out. And I look back on it now, and I'm like, I don't really think this anymore, but it's still funny to read. Yeah. So that's that. Give all your websites out there so that people can check everything out, and maybe, just maybe, they'll be able to track everything down.
This is going
to
take about 30 minutes.
That's fine.
But sequart.org, SEQUART .org, is our main website. The Grant Morrison movie is grantmorrisonmovie.com.
Okay.
The Warren Ellis movie is warrenellismovie.com. And from either of those, from the warrenellismovie.com, you'll be able to click through to Kickstarter. So
okay,
there we are.
Awesome. And the eventual Alan Moore movie will be an out now. No.
Also, you know, I just want to mention, if we're going to show products, that we do have the, everybody should go and reserve Planetary book,
yes,
Keeping the World Strange, a Planetary Guide, which is in previews right now.
Okay.
Your comic book store may not order this. It is a book. It's in, like you said, Julian, the ghetto of previews. It's in the very back, so go ahead and look for it.
What?
And
no pictures?
There are some pictures. No, we do have pictures.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. You saw me.
That's fine. Add, in addition to a beautiful cover by Ian Moody.
That's good. That's good. That's good.
There's a lot of really wonderful essays in there that really shine different lights on aspects of Planetary that hopefully, you know, maybe you haven't thought about. Or maybe change your view a little bit, or maybe anger you, and you write us an angry letter, and we get a good conversation going, which is what we love.
And you can send your angry letters to...
My home address is... No.
Well, guys, thank you so much for joining me here at C2E2. Enjoy whatever 3 hours are left, and more success to you in the future.
Great. Thank you so much for being...
It's been an honor and a pleasure. Thank
All
you.
Right. No problem, and more from Comic Timing, probably. Just proving that occasionally I do actually see him at conventions that we both attend, Mr. Jamal Igel, before he walks out the door.
How you doing, Ian?
doing well. Congrats on accepting like 4 Bleeding Cool awards that you didn't actually win.
Oh, thank you. It was my pleasure. I embarrassed myself thoroughly, but that's what you want to do at a comic book convention.
Of course. Chris was in the audience. I was actually at the middleman panel and came back right after you were on stage and heard about it afterwards, and I'm like, damn it, I just missed it. Just missed the Green Lantern oath, man. Christ. And I just feel so sad now inside.
Oh, but all dramatic and everything.
Well, she got it on her flip.
Oh, okay.
So cool. It'll be on YouTube.
Oh, no problem.
Whether you like it or not.
Oh, you mean some of it, yeah.
Yes, some of the insanity at the Bleeding Cool Awards.
Yeah, so the less dirty parts, hopefully.
So, Zatanna, eh?
Yes, Zatanna.
Going well?
So far, so good. You know, I'm on my third issue already, so first one comes out on the 30th.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
So it's
nice to draw pretty women, huh?
Yes, it is very nice to draw pretty women.
Is she wearing shorts, too?
It's more of a leotard kind of.
That's fine. That's fine.
A onesie.
Still has the fishnets, though.
Yes, of course. Yes, fishnets.
Good.
Thigh-high boots. You know,
top hat and tails.
You need those.
Exactly.
You need those in order to at least satisfy some people.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm not getting on my high horse about Zatanna and changing the costume or anything.
You have a high horse? Since when?
No, it's about 3 feet high. Yeah.
That's good enough.
It works.
It's good enough, yeah. Anything else out of you or just Zatanna for
now? Nothing that I can discuss.
I back away slowly. It's the exact response I got from Gail Simone. Coincidence? No, I doubt it. I highly doubt it. Well, dude, how'd the weekend go in general for you?
Chicago kicked my ass.
Nice.
In a good way.
Good.
I'm exhausted. I'm ready to go home. Everybody was wonderful. This is one of my favorite cities in the country.
I feel like I gained 5 pounds with all the pizza and hot dogs.
Oh, Thursday, we get in early.
Uh-huh.
We go to this place called Franks and Dogs.
Nice.
Up on North Clyburn in Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
I have the crazy kimchi dog, which is pork sausage covered with kimchi and slow braised short ribs.
Oh, my God, man. I'm going with you on Thursday next time.
And then... yesterday we were at, I'm doing the Chicago food tour. Yesterday I was at 11 City Diner, had the bacon cheeseburger covered with fried onion strings, fries, a little purple haze, Faygo, grape soda action. It was good. It's been a good.
I'm full on gourmet food, and you're making me hungry again. And for that, you should die in a special hell.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm already dying in a tire fire anyway.
Fine.
So.
That's fine. It's all good. It's all good. No, we had Eduardo's stuffed crust pizza on Thursday.
Nice.
Then we did Gino's East on Friday.
As many times as I've been to Chicago, I've never been to Gino's East.
Gino's.
No, I've never made it over there for some reason.
All right, well, you should join us next time.
Yeah, next time.
We usually wind up going there at least once.
Right.
Did Portillo's last night with the Italian beef and the Chicago dogs and all that. And for today, forget the name of the place, but it's this gourmet supermarket. That Chris got a
Jewel Osco?
No, it's not Jewel Osco.
Oh, okay.
This is an actual one. It's like in like tourist guys that you need to go to at least once.
Okay.
It was like right down the street from our hotel.
Oh, all right.
I had this amazing turkey meatloaf that actually made me feel like I was eating something healthy for once.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it is turkey.
Yeah. Yeah, no. We always talk about food.
I know.
What is wrong with us?
Well, I'm fat. I don't know what your problem is.
I'm fat, but I'm just not as fat.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we'll get there. any other comments you want to let the people know about?
I had a great time.
All right.
This show kicks much ass.
Super show, yes?
Not this year, actually.
One tier rolling down my team.
But my con and signing schedule is filling up very quickly.
Where else are you going to be?
I'll be Albany in April.
Okay.
I'm going to Acme Comics in Greensboro, North Carolina for Free Comic Book Day in May.
Awesome.
I'm going to Metropolis, Illinois for the Superman celebration this
Fantastic.
Year.
Fantastic.
And I will be a special guest at the San Diego Comic Con this year.
Oh, you finally get the special guest.
Yeah.
So they pay for it.
Yes, exactly.
Fantastic. So. And back in New York.
And back in New York and Toronto in August.
Brilliant.
And I think that's pretty much it. I might be doing Philly in November, but I haven't decided.
I'm going to have to have you be my special reporter for either Superman Celebration or San Diego.
I should take a DAT recorder with
you. Yeah, right. Well, either way, man, enjoy it and don't die on the way home.
I'll try not to.
All right. Jamal Igle, C2E2, we continue. I don't know if he's going to speak English right now, but let's find out. Hi, Sean.
Lock, knock, knock.
Netu, Parata, Nikki.
Somebody at one of the panels knew the entire Indigo Lantern Oath. I was really impressed because not only did they know it, but they actually had, they were musical about it. There was, like, a rhythm to their demonstration.
Wow.
So as much as I'm joking around about it, I was very impressed. Wow. Like, people were applauding afterwards, deservedly so.
Wow. Jim, how did you manage to memorize all that?
No. I actually probably was a little bit more talented than I could pull off.
No, it was honestly very cool. So I don't want to diminish it. It was a neat thing because it wasn't just memorization. The guy had a flavor to the whole thing.
Now I totally just want him to go on like America's Next Talent or something like that and be laughed off the stage.
The convention this year, I know we're in a smaller room than we were last year, but I feel that the flow is much better this year than it was last year.
Yeah.
I think that they've really done a great job with the floor space that we have here.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's the orientation that makes it that way, too, because I know last year there was a lot more horizontal than vertical. And this time, it's a lot more vertical.
Well, yeah, last year, it was funny. It was a bigger space with wider aisles, but it felt like a hedge maze.
Right.
And this year, it really, to get from the front to the back is very easy, which I think is good for everybody here as far as if you're trying to navigate. Because I was talking to a couple of the retailers, and one of the problems with that is if you get like halfway through and there's a retailer towards the back, somebody's going to give up at some point.
Right.
They're going to be like, "Yeah, you know what? I didn't really need it that bad." And who wants people making that decision? Because, I mean, retailers, when they come here, obviously they're here to make money, and that's part of being at a convention. You don't want to break even.
Right.
You want to make a profit if you're coming to a convention.
Yeah, I mean, otherwise, there's no reason to come if you're just going to come home with the exact amount of money you had.
That is one of the things I like about the Reed conventions. I know you've been at all the New York Comic Cons. Each one of those conventions has gotten better every year.
Yep.
This past year with it was tremendous. And I think next year they're going to just keep doing more. They're going to look at what worked, what didn't. Does everything they try work out?
Yeah.
Not necessarily, but at least they're trying new things every year, and they're listening to the audience. So anybody that was here at C2E2 or has been to any of the Reed conventions, a good idea to let them know constructive feedback. If there's something that you really liked, let them know, because it's good for them to know that. And something you thought didn't work, let them know, because they're listening.
Yeah. What do you think? Agree, disagree? Better or worse than last year?
Oh, definitely better.
Yeah?
Definitely better. Had much, you know, there was a energy, you know, especially throughout Saturday that was going on. And then even today, which is usually the traditional lighter day, it started off slow and then it built. You can actually tell by the noise volume.
Oh, yeah.
And then even it was kind of like a wave of people. And we started seeing just a fullness come through. And it's a nice steady flow. And we're near the end of the con right now. And I'm looking around
there's still people. Yeah.
And the couple times I got to walk on the floor, people were buying. It wasn't just, you know, window shopping.
Yeah.
People were actually buying stuff and, you know, were dropping down some coins. So definitely a really good con for everybody.
Well, there were some really great dollar bins on the floor, which made me happy because, you know, it's sometimes you don't know at a big show whether or not you're still going to get, like, those good 25-cent dollar deals. And there were plenty on the floor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot of that kind of stuff going on. And I like the nice variety of stuff. And there's, plenty of the apparel, you know, out there, and it's just a nice mix of a greater commonality of the whatnot of the retail environment within comic community.
Now, Sean, what exactly is a commonality of a whatnot?
I keep trying to figure out what he's saying from week to week. It's been like 5 years. I've known him for 20.
Oh,
and
you poor thing.
Yeah, but I don't know what he's talking about half the time. He wishes I'd shut up, and I don't know what he's talking about.
Do you know what you're talking about?
Not always.
Beautiful.
Talking about the DC end, though, at the convention, one of the things that I really enjoyed about this convention, it's funny, usually I'm excited for the news. This wasn't about the news, it was about what is coming next. You know, it's Flash, all roads are pointing to Flashpoint. It isn't just affecting the Flash family, it's affecting the entire universe. So, I mean, that's something that I'm excited about. Usually I want to say, hey, I want tons of news and all that. This time it was more what they weren't saying that's got me excited than what they were.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. It was a con that gave me exactly what I was looking for right now. Especially after last week with PAX East, I'm like, I need a downturn. I need to get out of cons for a while to get back in. And that's kind of what I got here. Don't want to monopolize your times. I know you got other stuff to do here and perhaps some surprises.
And we're recording soon on your show.
Yes.
So I'm very excited for that.
Yes, indeed. That'll be for Dark Knight number one, probably number two as well. If that ever comes out, we shall see. It's scheduled for next week. Will it show up? We shall see. I don't know. I'm going to stop talking. RagingBullets.com. Jim, good to see you.
Whatnot.
Sean, good to see you.
Good to see you too. Or knock, knock, clock.
See you, man.
All right.
There was a little Spanish flea, a record star, he thought he'd be. He heard of singers like Beatles, the Chipmunks he's seen on TV. Why not a little Spanish flea?
So, this weekend is almost over. So, how do I end the convention? I talk to this guy. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Ian, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Hey, you sold out in a good way this weekend.
Yes. No books. It's going to be lighter walking back to the hotel.
Yeah, lucky you, man. Well, no, that's great, man. I mean, I guess it was a good weekend for you.
Yeah, it's amazing you can continue to coast on a property that hasn't had new books out in a couple of years. Go me.
If only everyone could live the dream that Steve Bryant lives.
No. Yeah. I am still working away on new stuff, but it's nice to know that, you know, we can keep turning people on to the book and the character and all that stuff.
And you're really good at turning people on.
I have no response to that.
Oh, yes. This is why you shouldn't do interviews with me, man. Especially on a Sunday where we're both out of our minds.
Oh, was it a good show for you?
It was a great show for me. A lot of good deals on the floor. A lot of dollar bins. A lot of quarter bins, actually. Like, there was a guy who was selling five for a dollar.
That's a good deal.
Yeah, no, I wound up with a bunch of, like, all these... I think like Age of Heroes or something like that came out, like they were like almost like anthology books that Marvel came out with about like 6 months back that I completely skipped over.
For 20 cents?
For 25 cents. 25 cents an issue, yeah. One of which had a Greg Rucka Captain America story in it.
Awesome.
Yeah, so I feel like it was a well-spent weekend for me. Yeah, so new stuff is still coming, yes?
Yeah, new Athena Volterra stuff, and I'm doing a web strip with Joshua Hale Fiakov on the MTV Geek site. It's going to be called Helltown. It's a film noir, but it's set in the late 19th century, so it's a film noir western.
A film noir western? I don't think I've ever actually heard of those before.
Well, it'll be a western that deals with a guy from the Pinkerton Agency who's investigating some a murder and some situations in Los Angeles, which at the time was just a terribly wretched place. And so it'll have all the basic conceits of a film noir, but it's set against a western background. So. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm very excited about
it. Now, since it's for MTV, are you required to immediately grow 80s hair?
No, I am not.
That's good.
But it was kind of weird doing... I did a video interview for MTV Geek the other day.
Wow.
And yeah, it was weird to hold the MTV mic.
Yeah, you know, even though it doesn't actually stand for music television anymore.
Exactly.
It's like, in my day, you used to play music videos. Now you play the Jersey Shore.
Yeah, thankfully I was not interviewed by Snooki, so I'm happy.
If you would have, what would the questions be like then?
I don't know that she would be able to make it through an interview with anyone because I think someone would club her to death with the mic like a baby seal.
I think my favorite parody of her is definitely the SNL one with the I forget the name of the guy, but it's their requisite fat comedian dresses up as Snooki, the male as Snooki.
Well, my question is, has anybody ever done like a True Blood parody except with Snooki?
Snooki
instead of Snooki. Yeah, I think that'd be funny as hell.
Note to self. Memoir. The Levinstein memoir. Let's talk about the Kickstarter a little bit. Last time we spoke, that was near its conclusion, and now it has conclusioned, and it turned out pretty damn well, huh?
Yeah. We exceeded the goal. Since then, it's been a bit of a haul to try to get all the hardcovers back. Mm-hmm. I was having a bunch of the trade paperbacks bound, and there were some issues at the bindery, so. Mm-hmm. A year later, we almost have all the copies. So
that's good.
I'm starting to do the fulfillment on that.
Almost ain't better than is better than nothing.
Yeah, and I mean, in some ways, the Kickstarter campaign didn't net quite as much as I'd hoped because a lot of expenses were much higher. But you know, by the same token, we were able to introduce the character and the comic to a bunch of new people.
Yeah.
You know, remind people that we're out there. And it was really cool to see all the support from all these people. So I think that, you know, at the risk of sounding all Jimmy Stewart, you know, that's...
it's a wonderful life.
Well, yeah, it's a lot more valuable than the actual money.
Right.
Because, you know, it's good to know that we've got the support. And as we ramp up to eventually do something new, which I am working on. But as we ramp up toward that, there, you know, there's still an audience. So
that's great, man.
I'm encouraged.
Yeah. Now all I can think of is the SNL sketch, So This Is a Wonderful Life, the Jewish version of It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, I didn't see that. I thought you were quoting the Dana Carvey, John Lovitz one.
That one's pretty damn good, too.
They kick the hell out of him, because I like that.
Oh, yeah. What's that over there? Cypher?
Actually, did you get a copy of it?
No, I did not.
Okay. You may take that.
Why, thank you.
I still haven't sent June Bob his copy, so
So it's out.
We did an ash can to try to shop it around.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things, after talking with June about finishing it and showing it around to some people, there's kind of a bit of a game changer that happens at the beginning of the second issue that this first issue is 24 pages long.
Okay.
And so 24 story pages.
Right.
And June and I talked about adding another 8 pages in.
Okay.
So you get the game changer in issue 1, so it kind of drives home how different it is from other similarly themed comics, movies, and TV shows.
That's fine.
So
yeah, and then you're in like a full like 12 pages longer than a DC comic. Go you!
Yeah, but we don't have a home for it yet, so give us some time. But yeah, June's working away on that. He's helping me with a few Athena Voltaire related things that I can't really talk about yet.
That's
but,
fine.
Well, hey, both I'm trying to keep him busy.
Both you and June are on my wall directly next to each other. So I guess artwork wise. No, it's your heads.
Oh, good to know.
Yeah.
No, what do you have from June?
I have actually Cecilia Reyes from the X-Men, circa 1990s. Yeah, with
that's cool.
Yeah, no, with the dreads and everything. So it's good times. I don't want to keep you much longer here, sir. So
that's mostly because I don't have anything clever to add.
Oh, stop, pshaw! Again, it's part of my convention routine to talk to you at least once. Give the website
and I'm
as usual.
Wiped out.
Yes, and you're always wiped out.
AtomicTiki.blogspot.com,
mm-hmm.
Which is where you can see commissions and sketchbook things.
All right.
And also links to whatever new books I'm doing.
And Steve Bryant Art on Twitter, correct?
Yes, Steve Bryant Art on Twitter, yes.
Right on, Steve. You know it's a pleasure. Super show, yay and nay?
I've already apologized to Peter and Pants and Murray, who are all here. I can't afford it.
That's fine.
Unless, you know, anybody wants to sponsor me and bring me out.
You hear that? You hear that, people? He's looking for a sponsor. And it's not an alcoholic sponsor. Remember that.
All right, well, either way, I'll see you next time around, man.
That sounds good. Take care, man.
All right, this might be the end of C2E2 unless I turn this on one more time. Suspense?
Snake, answer me! Snake!
All right, it's my first interview here at Mocha this year. 2011 has begun. I'm here with Tanya Marmolejo.
Yes.
Yes, getting the last name right, making myself very happy about that. We've got a book here called To Doodle or Not To Doodle.
Yes.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about how you came up with this concept?
Well, basically, I doodle daily, and I doodle on Post-it notes, I doodle on toilet paper, I doodle on whatever that comes, and I'll post it up on my blog. And this book came up because I thought sometimes I'll see a shape on a piece of paper, I'll see a little smudge, and I turn it into a doodle. So this one was this book is about taking a stamp, so this one is a shell,
mm-hmm.
and then drawing around that and creating a story.
Oh, okay.
So it's to doodle or not to doodle because it gives you the option of drawing yourself. I give the reader another option to doodle on the same image.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also another book, I Doodle, Therefore I Am, because to me, doodling is who I am,
right.
And all of my life philosophy is on those little doodles, and all my personality is on the doodle, so...
So ever since you've been a kid, you've just been doodling.
I have ruined everything that I could get my hands on with a pencil or pen. I ruined my parents' encyclopedias, everything.
Nice.
So I haven't stopped.
So you're that one where like I would open up the textbook and there would just be that random picture in it. That was you.
Yes, it would be your textbook, but I intervened and destroyed it. Yes.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So how many different mediums have you worked with over the years that you think other than Post-its?
A lot. Anything. Napkins, and I'll doodle on on top of my desks, and then the superintendent of the school make me clean everything up. I've doodled on mugs, even. I turned these mugs into a little product, but I used to doodle just on anything. Shoes. On windows.
Oh, window.
Yes.
Nice.
So anything that I can get my hands on, yeah, toilet paper, I've doodled on. The most popular one, or what I'm known for, is the Post-it.
Right,
mm-hmm.
right. Now, are you self-trained, or did you actually go to school for any of this?
I am self-trained, okay. But I also went to school, but the doodles I've been doing self-trained. I went to Parsons School of Design, and there I got, I honed my talents for other things like painting and illustration, but the doodles are purely mine. So.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Is this your first year here at Mocha? Or?
This is my first year at Mocha.
Okay.
I've been recommended that this is where I had to show, so I'm very happy I did. It's going really well.
Oh, hey, I mean, you got a nice spot right by the back.
No,
everyone has
it.
To stop by here.
Exactly, and it's a corner. It's good people hang out, so I love it.
Fantastic. Now, give your website out there to everybody so they can go ahead and check it out.
It's tanya-marmolejo.blogspot.com.
Fantastic.
If you look for just my name, Tanya Marmolejo, mm-hmm. it'll come up.
All right, cool. All right, well, sure.
Google the art of procrastination.
Yes.
Doodling the art of procrastination.
Which might be a little bit easier to find if
yes.
you don't know how to spell Marmolejo.
It's not my name. Doodling the art of procrastination.
Fantastic. All right, well, Tanya, thanks for joining us here on Comic Timing.
Thank you.
All right, and enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thank you very much. You too.
All right, and probably more to come here. Back here at Mocha, it's still Saturday. I'm here with Dirk I. Teedy. Paradigm Shift is his book. So why don't you tell people a little bit about it?
All right. It's essentially starts out as a buddy cop detective procedural and takes a turn into more of a werewolf tale.
Hmm.
It's definitely a genre twister. It's the entire premise of the comic is it starts as one thing, turns to something else, turns to something else. It kind of wanders through. It has a lot of different elements, and the whole point is to keep you guessing.
Cool. I mean, to say the least, there seems to be a major manga influence on the art style of the book.
Yeah, manga kind of brought me back into drawing comics, but I like to say I have influences on both sides of the Pacific. Once you actually start reading the book, you realize
right.
that most of my writing influence comes from American sources.
Well, it's hard not to, because, I mean, anyone in America, you get to experience both sides.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, although mostly my influences on the American side are a lot of TV, movies, novels, that sort of thing. Although, you know, not that I don't have a love of American comics,
right.
but it's less the superhero type stuff. Which I got away from,
uh-huh.
which is why it took manga to bring me back, because I had just gotten tired of it.
Cool. What type of TV shows are you into?
Well, lately, I love like things like... I was a huge X-Files fan. I've been really into Fringe lately.
Yes, thank you. I was hoping you'd say that.
And, you know, strangely enough, I've been seeing some interesting parallels between my comic and that show lately, which makes me wonder if there's some people there who are fans secretly.
Well, little do you know is that there are microphones everywhere, even in your shower head,
yeah,
so they're just listening to everything you say.
Well, honestly, I'd take it as a point of honor as opposed to, like, oh, they're stealing. I'm like, no, that'd be kind of
you bastards!
No, it'd be kind of cool.
So you do both I guess, comic-y stuff and anime/manga-y stuff.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Like, I do small press shows, I do anime shows, I do the big anime, comic shows. Like, I do San Diego Comic-Con
right.
every year.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's got to be a trek.
Oh, it is. It's the biggest of the year, and last year was the first year out of 8 that I actually made a profit.
Yay.
So, hey. But, you know, so patience... Patience pays off, kids.
So fun and profit actually made sense for that con.
Yes, but, you know, it's a con that you go to network, and it's worth going to for other reasons than just making money. The whole point of selling things was just to subsidize
right.
the trip. So.
Oh, and the crowds are so different between the anime shows and the comic shows.
I
think it's good that you're getting out there
yeah.
for, I guess, two different sides of the fence.
Yeah, I do better at shows that are a mix. Uh-huh. Like, you've got... You know, the mainstream stuff, but then you've got the small press stuff, you've
right.
got the anime stuff. I'm good. I do good at shows like that, but shows that are just superhero comics, yeah kind of.
Yeah, no, been there, done that myself. If you haven't had a chance to go there, I'd recommend MegaCon.
MegaCon, where is that?
In Orlando, Florida.
Oh,
fantastic! Both anime and comic book con.
Interesting.
They intermingle it really, really well, especially on the show floor.
Huh. I've never done anything down in the southeast. So
very friendly down there. Very welcoming. I went there twice because my co-host actually lives in Orlando, so we got to go down there once or twice.
Cool.
And really, really nice con. So might be something to look into at some point.
Perhaps I will.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to have a new book coming out next year, so...
Oh, yeah? And what's that going to be?
Paradigm Shift Part 4.
There you go.
Which is currently running on my website,
okay.
and I'm over halfway through, so
Very
it should
cool.
be done by the end of the year.
Fantastic. And the website is?
Yeah, paradigmshiftmanga.com.
All right. Fantastic. Go ahead and check that out, and they're all available for purchase on there as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Fantastic. Well, Dirk, thanks for joining us here on Comic Timing. Enjoy the rest of your weekend here at Mocha.
It's a real pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And we'll see you later.
All righty.
And once again, this episode of Comic Timing is sponsored by DCBS, Discount Comic Book Service. Check it out at dcbservice.com. Kirby Genesis number 1, written by Kurt Busiek and Alex Ross, is 75% off for 99 cents. That's our indie pick. Our DC pick is Flashpoint Kid Flash Lost, starring Bart Allen, number 1 of 3, miniseries tying into
to the whole Flashpoint shebang, written by Sterling Gates, art by Oliver Gnome. And Ghost Rider 0.1 is 50% off for $1.49, regular price of $2.99. Use the promo code CT8 to get an additional 8% off of your first order at DCBS, Discount Comic Book Service, DCBService.com. Hope you guys thoroughly enjoyed the interviews. I had a great time, and I hope to be back at CTE2 next year. We'll definitely be back at Mocha Fest, unless for some reason I'm not in New York. Both of them were really, really fun, and I'm looking forward to Super Show this weekend. I hope you guys stop on by. The email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the forums over at comicforums.com, graciously hosted by Comic Geek Speak guys over at comicgeekspeak.com. You can check out the Comic Timing website at comictiming.net now. No more geekspeak.com/comictiming. You have to remember, it's just at comictiming.net. We're proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com and the League of Comic Book Podcasts over at comicbooknoise.com/league. And please send us your iTunes reviews on iTunes. That would be graciously appreciated. So for everyone who took time out of their busy schedule to be interviewed at C2E2 and Mocha, I thank you very much. And as always, there's always time for comics. See you guys next time. Just talking to you like a person does.
Oh, I thought
you like a human being.
Yes. I don't just stick microphones in people's faces. I like to get to know their story a little bit first. Exactly, right. And, so anything else that comes close to being near happening things new as the phone rings? Oh, this will be good. All right, that's good. Bam, 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 bam. Bam, 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 bam. Yeah, da, da, da.